Welcome to the Loftus Party podcast. Everything has aligned perfectly. I'm in a phenomenal mood. It's been a great week. I've never worked harder on anything before in my life. I'm just being honest. We got the Liberty Gimlet on the other end, and I'm just kind of like taking the ball here for a moment. Here's how I want to set the stage. I've never worked harder on anything in my life, honestly, than the LoftusParty.com, than on this podcast, than on the YouTube channel, than on the Facebook channel, and now the live shows, going out and doing live stand-up events. It's hit another level, and occasionally, every once in a while, it'll hit me that it's working. And we're keeping the just keep going. Keep your head down. Keep your shoulder to the wheel. It's like Arnold Schwarzenegger in the original Conan the Barbarian when he's a little kid. He's pushing that thing, and then they do a montage and they come back, and all of a sudden he's big grown up Arnold. I just want to rail off some numbers here real quick to make you guys feel wonderful. First of all, I want to thank the Patreons. Just I'm not kidding. That slow, steady. Drip, you guys, that money's going to good use. It's working. It's all working. Let's just do some numbers here real quick. We're over 5,000 subscribers on YouTube. And then it's like a snowball. We've picked up 200 more people, in the past, like 72 hours. It's fantastic. So actually we're up to like 52. So that's great. 5,200. So then they say a whole new world opens up at 10,000. So keep sharing the videos. Keep telling your friends. Now on Facebook, are you ready for this, Gypsy?
What?
Okay. Do you remember when we started doing this show, you and myself, and we'd have Andrew Apple on from time to time, and it was just like a struggle, like boom, 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 trying to get. And then I remember, oh my goodness, we were so happy when we finally cracked 5,000. We're going to crack 9,000 followers on Facebook in the next couple days.
Okay.
Nice. Yeah. And then, check this out. I got a little email from Facebook. I should have had it ready. If I was actually a radio person, I would have had it ready to go. I would have had it prepped. I got this little message from Facebook because of the level of the reach of the Loftus Party on Facebook. They now want multiple. They want to make sure that I am who I say I am. They're asking for like different levels of authenticating my identity and stuff. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, bring it. I will totally authenticate.
Oh yeah. So I had to do that too. You have to put in your driver's license and give them your address. And then there's this special code they send you. It's like super secret stuff.
Yeah. Oh yeah. That's if you want to do political ads too. If you want to do ads that are considered political. So I will jump through all the hoops. You guys, we're playing in football. They'd say play between the sidelines, you know, I think that's what they say. I don't know, but we're doing it and it's working and it's all wonderful. It's all wonderful. So, with that being said, and this is my new thing, also of like setting our own agenda. I don't know what you have that you want to talk about. I know that there's some stuff that I want to talk about. We would be remiss. We have a huge opportunity here, or at least I do. You don't watch Game of Thrones. Later on, we'll have to talk. I'm going to make some predictions about Game of Thrones, and I've done some research. I've been watching a lot of videos with George R.R. Martin, the man who invented it, and how that happened, and what he thinks of the series, and all that good stuff. So we'll do that a little later on in the show. However, I want to start with what I think is the big news, just because it delights me to no end. And I'm sure you know about it because you're clued in on everything. The Hunter Biden rental car return.
Oh, geez, I saw that. I didn't look into it too deeply. Hunter Biden's a hot mess.
This is hilarious. This is straight out of Hunter Thompson's Fear and Loathing in Las Vegas. In 2016, somebody, Hunter Biden, had rented a car from Hertz. He returned it at a different location, in like Prescott, Arizona, did it in the middle of the night. And I've been there. I've been there. Oh, I'm going to be honest with you guys. I've done the old return the rental car when
At
you
two in
know
the
they're not
morning.
open.
Yeah.
'Cause you just don't want to deal with it. You're like, whatever. Someone returned the rental car. Listen, I don't want to get sued or anything. So this is all, the rental car was returned. It was his rental car. The keys were in like, that little door, the gas cap, the little door that swings open, shoved them in there. Left behind, holy smokes, two driver's license from Delaware. Left behind like a inspector general or a deputy, some kind of badge was there. A used crack pipe was in there. Like multiple credit cards were in there, all in his name. The crack pipe wasn't in his name, unless
They
his
don't
friends
stamp their
had it
name on them.
engraved.
Yeah, right.
And imagine this, Gypsy. This wasn't reported. This wasn't they the police decided there's nothing to look at here. Just give him his stuff back. And
Crack pipe too.
I think they might have kept the crack pipe.
Oh, okay.
But there was never like a big police report or anything, and no one in the press found this interesting whatsoever.
Well, I mean,
And
we
this is the
know why
kid.
he was kicked out of the military, right?
Yeah, wasn't that for like cocaine abuse?
Yeah, he tested positive for cocaine, so I mean, I guess I'm not going to be too surprised if, he's dropping paraphernalia in a rental car.
Now, isn't this also the same kid who's qualified to run a Ukrainian gas company?
In some capacity, consult with them, yes, and also some companies in China, apparently.
What a great life.
I
What a
know, isn't
great
it though?
life. Like, it's totally a double-edged sword because there's a big part of me that is like, hey, come on, press. You got to report this. We got to be even-handed. Then I'm like, you know what? They're never going to be even-handed about it. And then there's a part of me who's like, wow, what an, I mean, addiction's not funny. So,
No.
and obviously he's got a problem with cocaine. But beyond that, that's got to be a pretty sweet life. Where you just get set up like I'm just tooling around the desert in my rental car, just spending money left and right. Don't worry, you guys. My dad hooked me up. I'm a consultant at a Ukrainian gas company. I'm doing tech work with China. I am hooked up. That's like lifestyles of the rich and famous. That's just like we have to. I know that they're saying that like, oh, they're just going after Hunter Biden because he's yeah, and partially yeah, because Biden is the front runner right now on the Democratic side, but like. I want to make a movie about this kid's life.
Well,
I want. He's like, and then he's. I got. He was banging his brother's widow.
yeah.
It's just listen, you guys. It's bizarre. It's bizarre, and I love the bizarre.
Yeah.
I love weird, and this is bizarre. It's weird. There's money. I guarantee there's supermodels. At some point, there's been boating expeditions. It's just, I want to, Hunter Biden, we, I should, I, I'm actually writing it down. I want to make a movie about Hunter Biden.
Lord, you might have to
It's,
wait. You might have to wait until you're both a lot older. He's
I
gonna
think
do a
it,
lot more stuff, Michael. Let's be legit here. He's like, what, in his 40s? Come on.
right? You don't think he's peaked yet? You don't think he's
No,
peaked?
no, 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 no. Here's the thing, right?
Okay.
Anybody who lives in America knows, right, that if you have a parent that's as politically connected as Joe Biden is, or Dianne Feinstein is, or even Chuck Grassley is. I mean, this isn't a Republican Democrat thing. You know their kids do well because life is about the network, right?
Yeah,
The
yeah.
problem with what went on with Hunter Biden is the way his father tells the story. He was managing humanitarian and other aid to Ukraine and held that over the Ukrainian government's head so that they would stop investigating the firm that his son was consulting for.
Right.
That's the problem I have with this situation. I like don't I would be silly if I would sat here and I was like shocked, like Hunter Biden kind of gets a pass in life. I mean, most of their kids do, don't you think? I mean, I don't think it's great and I don't think it's wonderful, and I mean, I hope he doesn't have an addiction problem because that wouldn't be good. That's not good for anybody. But I
Yeah.
mean, Like everybody's like, you're picking on Hunter Biden. No, I'm not picking on Hunter Biden. This is totally expected based on who his dad is. What I'm saying is if Joe Biden actually did that to the Ukrainian government, that's a problem.
Oh, we have to totally investigate that. We have to totally go after that. 'Cause listen, it doesn't it's not a big stretch to believe. I mean, it's abuse of power. I mean, it's you're worried about your kid. You set your kid up in this great job, and now that there's like this, you know, from your perspective, there's some stupid dorky Ukrainian prosecutor looking into it who's going to upset the apple cart. So yeah, you throw your full weight behind it to stop that investigation. I just think,
But it's
I don't
so
know. It's
Joe.
like I want a young Chevy Chase to play Hunter Biden, like that kind of person, like Topher Grace couldn't pull it off, but like a young Tom Hanks to play Hunter Biden. Just that, like, it's just a ridiculous life. It's just ridiculous. It's just ridiculous. And I think it's like Chelsea Clinton's life. It has to be just ridiculous and bizarre. They have no grip on reality, like
Done.
zero grip. You're born into this bizarre life of privilege with not only a silver spoon, but there might even be some coke on the end of that silver
Right.
spoon. And like you never have to work. The rules don't apply to you, and you're just surrounded by money and sycophants. Like I'm totally fascinated by that. I'm totally fascinated by it, and I just like I want to get Terry Gilliam to direct. It's bizarre. There's orgies. There's drugs. There's booze. There's just
I don't
like
see that
someone.
with Chelsea.
It's like they're from another planet. They're from like
Yeah.
Chelsea Clinton. What was her job? Like right out of college. Didn't she get like a
No, she.
$500,000 a year consulting gig for like NBC
Yeah,
News?
that was like a couple years that was a couple years later, and if I remember, that whole thing went down because the Clinton Foundation kind of fell apart.
Yeah.
Yeah, so
Yeah.
she,
Well,
I think she actually had a job with the foundation for quite a period of time. And then they
that's
got
a
her
great
some
gig.
lifestyle gig on NBC. I don't know. I've never seen it. I have to say, though, I think Chelsea Clinton comports herself very well in public life when she speaks. I don't agree with her on most things, but she doesn't seem like a bomb thrower either. I think
No.
she's a little more grounded than maybe a lot of them are. But yeah, I mean, none of them. And not to say that maybe some of them aren't bright, some of them aren't smart, and some of them wouldn't have been successful all by themselves. But I mean, if you want to start talking about privilege, there it is.
Oh,
And,
good Lord.
you know, what I love most about Joe is he couldn't just use his influence to try to make that happen. Then in 2015, he gets up in a speech and brags about it.
Yeah.
It's like
Yes.
the absolutely Uncle Joe and his gaffes, man. They've been hiding him. They haven't been letting him talk a lot. I think they're scared.
I was so amused. This is why you guys with the additional and I'll just be honest. The LoftusParty.com has been operating at a loss for a very long time. So that's just it's not a huge loss, but it hasn't been making money. It's little. We're at the point now where hopefully we're starting to see a little bit of income from that. We'll see. I'll get the next report in a month. But there's so many things that I want to do. There's so many. I cannot wait to have an editor because I saw it. Joe Biden has this trick that he does. And it's funny because you know, I'm coming at this from Hollywood and being a stand up, and like none of this is an accident. Joe Biden did a thing the other day and he just, oh, it just cracked me up. He was like in Philly and he was doing an event. And my man comes out there like he knows he's going to give a speech. He knows
Right.
there's a podium set up. You drove over there. You got your speech ready. You know what's about to happen. But he does this thing where he pretends like he doesn't know what he's about to do. And it's he comes out. He's got the blazer on and the aviator sunglasses. So his wife introduces him. I think it was his wife. So he gets introduced and then he comes out rocking the aviator sunglasses, looking around. With his and he's got a suit coat on, but you know, no tie. because he's Joe Biden. And
Right.
then he takes off, he makes a little show of taking off the aviator sunglasses, like, oh, it looks like I'm going to have to give a speech. And then after the sunglasses come off and he puts those things down, like he literally thinks he's like a jet fighter pilot who just got out of the cockpit. Then he takes off the jacket and looks around like, oh, what am I going to do with this? It's hilarious. It's so like thought out and rehearsed, but he's a good actor. I mean, he pulls it off. But just like his little, it's such a passive aggressive little like peacocking way to do things. I found it just hilarious. I gotta edit that together. I wanna put sound effects behind it. Maybe put in Danger Zone underneath it. It's fantastic.
Well, I mean, he's been in Congress politics for like 43 years, 44 years or something. I mean, if you think that the people in Congress couldn't have been Hollywood actors and actresses if they'd taken another path, you're crazy.
And people are so stupid. Aware to me, what's as plain as the nose on my face to me, all these people are like, oh, why is Trump going after Biden? Why is Trump going after Biden? He's ignoring everyone else. It's like, why not? Why not go after Biden?
He's a front runner.
Yeah, and it's like, and Trump's saving his silver bullet. Like, he knows exactly, and I do too, how to deal with Hunt with Joe Biden.
Oh yeah.
You wait till you get him on that debate stage, and you go, Joe, my man, you've been doing this since 1978. You've been doing this since 1978. And then you were in the White House with your boy Barack for 8 years. You have what idea could you possibly have left? You've professionally been sucking off the government's tit since 1978.
Right.
That's like when the first Star Wars came out. You are played out. You are a professional parasite. If I thought you had a new idea, I would think about it. But you are low energy. You're sleepy, Joe.
I mean, it's actually funny because I've actually heard people on the left commenting on, wow, you know, he's only been out of the White House a couple years, but he seems slower now. Da 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 da. I mean, he'd be 78 when he took office.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm not.
It's wild. And like, listen, I imagine, and I've said this before, I wouldn't mind hanging out with Joe Biden. I really wouldn't. I wouldn't, you know.
Come to the barbecue.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Oh my gosh. Oh my god. Joe is totally invited to the Loftus Party barbecue.
Mm-hmm.
That's the other thing that I can't wait to do is to actually throw the Loftus Party barbecue.
Yeah. Well, you know who's not invited.
Who?
Pete Buttigieg.
That's hilarious. We are so dialed in today, Gypsy. I was literally thinking, it's like you read my mind. And you know what it is for me, and then I want to know why it is for you. But like, he seems like he seems duplicitous, I think it was a horror movie called The Village, where the kids just showed up and they had blonde hair and these white eyes and they were like possessed by alien spirits or something weird. But like, Pete Buttigieg just seems like one of the kids from The Village to me. Like I don't know what's just behind those eyes.
He's lying. He gives me the creeps.
He's
lying. He is a far left, like as left as Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez, and he keeps trying to position himself as a moderate. And if he doesn't stop lecturing me about what God thinks, I'm going to lose my mind.
It's so boring. It's so boring. I mean, it's infuriating.
Like, oh, it was so nice because we have this Democrat who's religious and he's Episcopalian and he can speak to religious, you know, denominations, etc. Dude, if you're going out and telling evangelicals because of their deeply held religious beliefs that they don't know the right God, probably not going to happen.
There's another skit that I want to do. There's another skit that I want to do. I want to do I need the set of the Oval Office, right? And you got Mike Pence in there with his assistant, and then the assistant goes, "Hey, Vice President Pence, Mayor Pete is here to talk to you. And so then Mayor, you have the actor come in as Mayor Pete, and Mike Pence is like, "Hey man, very, you know, very nice to see you. Good job with being the mayor of South Bend. You're an honorable man. Thanks for serving your country." And then Pete Buttigieg, and you do the actual quote of Pete Buttigieg, you know, "If you've got a problem with me, you don't have a problem with me, or you have a problem with my creator." And then Mike Pence is like, "Dude, I'm just telling you, I honor your service, and thanks for being a great bear. You stop attacking me, sir." And then at towards the end of the skit, Mayor Buttigieg is like flying around the room as if he's just been punched, and he's just staging like a fight. And Mike Pence is just standing there, and you just have Pete Buttigieg just flying around the room. "Stop hitting me! Stop hitting me!"
Right?
It's ridiculous. These fake attacks. These fake attacks that he acts like Mike Pence is coming at him.
Dude, you're fighting with yourself. Just be quiet.
Yeah,
it's, you know, insane.
And I
but
love
you know,
how
you
mad.
You know who I actually want to win
hold,
the Republican.
Hold on, hold on, hold on. I love how Mad Magazine changed their Twitter handle
awesome.
To say that they have Pete Buttigieg on the cover of every issue. That was hilarious. That's a quality joke. And God bless the people at Mad Magazine. Okay,
you
so who do you want to
response,
do well?
Pete Buttigieg. I've never heard of Pete Buttigieg. Must be a generational thing. I laughed my butt off.
Who do you want to do well? Who are you rooting for?
I want Warren to take it.
Oh, that would be great.
Wouldn't that be awesome?
That would be fantastic.
Your like shrewish aunt running for president. I mean, she would be worse than Hillary.
The way she shakes, she does this thing that like I find very disturbing. Whenever she's on Rachel Maddow, she'll start like literally like her hands.
Shaking
she'll clench
her
up her hands
stuff,
into like
yeah.
little fists, and she'll start shaking her like she's like literally shaking with rage.
I
it's
know.
So it's so disturbing. It's like yeah, it's like your vegan aunt. Your weird vegan aunt
yep.
comes over for dinner, and she's like, "I swear to God, you better not have chicken. I swear to God, you better not." And then you put down a platter of chicken, and then she starts just shaking with rage. "I told you, Winnie."
I know. Dude, that the rant she went on about Fox News.
Oh,
it's like, lady, fine if you don't want to go on Fox News, whatever. But to literally join the campaign to get the network off the air, I mean, I'm sorry, when I look at Fox News, I at least see a couple of journalists. I see Bill Hemmer. I see Brett Baer. I see Martha McCallum, right? These are the people who would be conducting town halls, not Ingram and Hannity and Tucker. Those are opinion hosts. Of course you hate their opinions, Lizzie.
Here's
I mean,
what
was,
I think happened there.
I was furious when I saw that.
Here's what I think happened there, and I think this was a brilliant bit of politicking by Pocahontas. She didn't want to talk about the Indian thing. She doesn't. She can't go on Fox News. She can't.
Well,
it's a non-starter.
Ask her a question.
They're gonna talk about the Indian thing. And she's going to go, "Well, you know, this and that, and I still stand by this." Now they've got the DNA thing, which is hardcore proof. They know that she's done it more than once. She makes, what, $400,000 a year for teaching the one course, and the only reason she got there is because she was lying. That is a doomsday scenario for her.
Mm-hmm.
So she did some serious political kung fu, and not only does she say no, she doesn't want to go on, she attacks them for like trying to, you know, be hate speech central. And that was I actually doff my cap to her in that respect. That was some serious political kung fu on her part, because there's no way she can't that. And that would well, whatever. It's one of the reasons I wanted to do well, because there's the silver bullet for her. That's she's just a werewolf, just like you know, Joe Biden is.
Oh no!
Okay.
But I think like of all, either her. See, Kamala still makes me nervous, but she has turned into a terrible candidate.
Yeah,
like, she just can't get it together, because now she's going to be the first Asian president. She's reversed herself about four different times. She's taken really far left positions. She was supposed to kind of come into this with a little bit of the Michelle Obama sheen. She ain't got it.
It's funny to watch, and it really makes me admire, and this is in all seriousness, it really makes me admire what Donald Trump was able to do. And I think his naivete, his you have these people who obviously there's a lot of money to be made in politics. And so okay, I'll go to law school, and then you discover politics. You're like, okay, I'm going to try to run to be the assistant DA. And then, oh, now I'm the DA. And then I'm going to take that, and then I'll do this. It's like leveling up in a video game. It really is. You start off as just a newbie and you've got nothing, and then you get a little piece of armor, and then it's what they do. And it's what Cory Booker's doing, it's what Kamala Harris is doing. And you think you have the ultimate defense because I'm just trying to serve my country. You can just say that. I'm just trying to serve my country and blah, blah, blah. And maybe you can even delude yourself into believing it for a while. Seriously, I don't think Cory Booker is a patriot. I don't think Kamala Harris is a patriot. I really don't. I don't think they have better ideas. I don't think they're students of history. I don't think they know anything. So they're dialed into this, how to get into the Senate, how to get into the Senate, and how to, manipulate this and do that. And then once they're elevated to the political race and people start dialing deep, seriously, what are your beliefs on this? And it's big national issues. They ain't nobody home. There's nobody home. There is no there there. There's no core value system. They're just empty shells. And that's the great thing about Trump is that that dude came in with zero experience, zero in politics or debating any of it. And it's just astounding to think of. Like, he whooped 16 other like professional politicians' asses. Like, it's amazing. And good Lord, he's doing a wonderful job of running the country. I legitimately like don't have many beefs with the guy. But Kamala, yeah, I'm not concerned about Kamala. I'm not concerned about Cory Booker. They're just laughable. They're all laughable. But you know what? But that's my opinion. And then you get into this was shocking. This was shocking to me. And I'll tell this little story real quick. And this goes to the culture war of it, is that the left has done such an outstanding job. And I didn't think they'd be able to do it. And you can go back and listen to episodes of this show, previous ones, where you're like, this whole Russia collusion thing, that gave them 2 years, right? So they managed to have everyone focused on that for 2 years, and now they're pivoting, and they're still doing it. They're still doing it. There's like they've baked it in to a level that I think is going to be startling to a lot of people, because this is not, it's not about the economy, stupid. With this next presidential election, the level of hatred that people have, your average citizen has, that the level of hatred they have for Donald Trump, the level of hatred that they have for Trump supporters is on a whole nother level. I pride myself on being like, the lovable conservative, the witty, funny, charming guy who voted for Trump. And I can make this admission on stage, and I can always, win the crowd over, and we always have a good, it has never backfired. It has never backfired. Even down in the Southern California beach communities, where it's just like totally there. I was doing a show at Comedy and Magic a couple nights ago, and there was a large group of, I guess there were like actors, Shakespeare, there was like some Shakespeare company.
Oh dear.
Or a big, I don't know what it was. They were all like Shakespearean actor people, but there was like 150 of them in there. The club holds like 270. So I'm on stage, and I'm doing this, oh, politically incorrect this, yada yada. And I'm trying to work on this new material. I have an hour-long thing that I want to do about America just being exceptional and wonderful, and the history of this country, and funny stories and all this stuff. So I segue into this thing where I'm like, yeah, I did it. I voted for Trump. this there was like it was like someone had been physically hurt. This person in the back of the room was just like, "No!" And it was I couldn't believe it. It was shocking. And I go, "What? We got different opinions, Hey, so I voted for Trump. I'm not and literally like two people in the back of the room, I'm not going to sit here and listen to this. I'm not going to take this." And I could not believe it. They got up and they left. They were so horrified. Horrified. And then the room kind of got weird and quiet, and I was able to continue on and keep doing materials, and we all laughed. But like I couldn't believe it, that all I had to do was be on stage with a microphone and say, "Yeah, I voted for Trump." And it's not like I'm like, "I voted for the best man. Let's go." I'm just like, "Yeah, I voted for Trump." And they were horrified. And it was a huge eye opener for me. Big eye opener for me.
Yeah,
Those
those people do
they're
actually
everywhere.
exist.
Say what?
There's people who like go into a rage at a kid wearing a MAGA hat and all this other. They actually exist, and two of them were at your show. Yeah.
So I really think, and so, for every one person that actually comes out and says it, it's like the people who voted for Trump. For every person, one person who admitted it, there's a bunch of people who are being quiet and not admitting it. But the majority of people who hate Trump, they're not having a hard time being quiet. And it's a friend of mine on Facebook posted something. It was just bizarre. It's an actor, a friend of mine, successful actor, good guy. I like posted this thing that like Trump is in Putin's pocket on Facebook, and he can't, as a good American, blah blah blah. And so I rarely get into these Facebook. I never do the back and forths. I might post
Right.
one thing, just like a little flyby hit, and then move on. But I'm like, dude, if you've got evidence, you might want to let Mueller know. I mean,
Right.
it doesn't matter. It doesn't
I
matter. And
know.
it's too funny that. They tell Trump supporters, they're like, "Oh, you guys are just, Trump bots." So that's the level of the problem. And that's why I'm going out and I'm doing the live shows, and that's why I'm doing the loftistparty.com. That's why all of this. There's in order to level the playing field, it is about the culture. It is about like the constant drumbeat of evil, 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 evil. And I get they're gonna keep it up for 2 more years. They're going to keep it up for 2 more years. Now I think they're just getting excited because, oh, the subpoena, this and oh, that, and this guy's got to testify. So you'll have all the trappings. You'll have all the trappings of, big Senate investigations, and this guy's got to sit here in front of a microphone and put the cameras there, and they'll all be giving speeches. It'll all be theatrics. It's just part of a commercial. It's just all a big, it's not about getting to the truth of anything. Like,
I
oh, we
think
want
Bill
Mueller
Barr
to
is.
testify. Go ahead. What?
I was going to say on the other side, I think Bill Barr is absolutely going to get to the truth.
Well, they better go at. I used to think like slow and steady wins the race on that, but I think now we're past the event horizon, and they need to go quickly. They need to go at light speed,
Well,
because here's the way. Rachel Maddow and a bunch of the people on MSNBC are already framing it, and I tell you what, it's going to resonate. It's going to resonate. This isn't they will frame it as this isn't Bill Barr looking for the truth. This is Donald Trump weaponizing the Department of Justice against his political enemies. That's exactly how they're going to frame it. And once again, Trump will be painted as the supervillain. This is what we tried to warn you about. This is what Hillary tried to warn you about on the debate stage. I'm glad you're not in charge of the Justice Department. Yeah, because you'd be in jail. And that's how they're going to frame it. They're going to frame it as he's the mad king, the mad dictator who is going to do the ultimate smackdown on anyone who ever opposed him. Can you believe he's still going after Hillary? Can you believe he's still going at and that? Is going to resonate with the left. So Bill Barr, I did a video. I love the guy. I think
oh, I
he's
love him.
hilarious.
Well, I mean,
And
he is so
he's got his head on. Go ahead.
he for, well, first of all, I actually consider Bill Barr the most dangerous man in the world.
Because,
Fantastic. well, no, he doesn't need this job, didn't really want this job, sure as hell wasn't looking for this job. He got called in and asked to take this job. He looked around and goes, "Yeah, the ship is sinking. It's got some serious rot on it. I'll come fix it." He's basically said that much publicly. I don't need this job. You know, he was getting ready to retire. He was an AG under Bush, hugely successful law practice. He doesn't need this job. And he was retiring, so he doesn't even have to work anymore.
It's wonderful, and that also goes to the similarities, with Trump. And I'm sorry that I'm just doing this whole thing here, but like since like the 80s, Trump was like, if it ever gets bad enough, I'll run. It's bad, but I don't want to run. If it ever gets bad enough, I'll run. And now you have a guy in the White House who's like, don't even pay me. Give my salary to whatever charity. Don't pay me. It's very, talk about a guy, it's altruistic. And that's, Bill Barr, same thing, same thing. Like,
Well,
listen, I don't need this gig. I'm set.
I don't know how you try to impeach the guy he's brought in, Durham. I mean, he is just a prosecutor's prosecutor. He comes in, he finds out what happened, he recommends charges, and he leaves, and he doesn't care what political side you're on.
Well, that's the wonderful thing about like rational people such as yourself and myself and the people who listen to this show. You can look at these things and go, okay, X, 1 + 2 = 3. And the mainstream media and the the Rachel Maddows and the Chris Hayeses and the all those dudes and the Brian Williams of the world, they will just frame it in a completely different way. And that's why and that's where we get into the culture part of it. And it's just baked in. The person, the average person who doesn't pay attention to politics will just freak out. They'll just freak out and they'll go, holy crap. This is dangerous. We have a president who's on the war path. This is dangerous. This is dangerous. And that's why I'm doing the live shows. And that's why that's why all of this and the lack of support on the right, the lack of support. We might get into this in next week's show, because I'm gonna give everybody another week. I got people reaching out, but the lack of support on the right so far has been pretty deafening, pretty deafening, with a few exceptions. With a few exceptions, I'm gonna say this: Andrew Klavan over at the Daily Wire. Andrew Klavan has been a total champ. Has been a total champ. He had me on his show. We've been emailing, and we're actually, and I hope I'm not speaking out of school on this, but we're gonna keep moving forward with this this like think tank of how to make a shift in the culture. Like, I want to get good people, funny people involved in this. So Andrew Klavan has been a champ. Larry Elder has been a champ. Larry Elder, fantastic. And I want to continue to have conversations with him and maybe invite him to the think tank as well. Also, oh, I can't remember the guy's name. He's on Outlaw Radio on XM. You guys need to support Outlaw Radio. My goodness, I can't remember the guy's name. He heard me on a program. He had me on. And listen, there was a dude that just tweeted me this morning that just like, I'm not bitching about this, you guys. I'm not I'm like I'm kind of trying to sound the alarm. However, I'm not just gonna sit around and sound the alarm. Like, I can walk and chew gum at the same time. So as the leftistparty.com continues to grow, and we've got some great new contributors, this guy, John Rathbone, wrote a really funny piece about how the Democrats raise money. Gloria Haney posted another phenomenal recipe. So, like, we're doing stuff. Kim Dixon, Lisa K. Tate, Paul Hare, all these people, and they're writing books at the same time. Like, there's great things happening. And I'm not just sitting around just like, oh, what are we going to do? I'm doing live shows. I'm going out. I'm like, listen, they're not going to let me to participate in Hollywood. Okay, so if those doors are closed, I'm going on the road. And
Well,
I'm going to invite everyone. I'm going to invite everyone and their mother to help me in this endeavor, because it is like literally a grassroots thing. But like, you'd think that like there's a conservative talk show host in Omaha, Nebraska. His name, I believe, is Chris Baker. He's on board. He gets it. So he's helping out. We've been talking back and forth. But some of these conservative talk show hosts, like, what do you, why would you not, do you just want, those are the dudes, some of these guys, I think they just want to sit around and bitch and like be the victim and
I
just
was going to
react
say,
the whole time.
everybody complains all the time. We're not out there. We're not getting our voice out. You know, culture, or politics is downstream of culture. Why aren't we in the culture? Well, you know why we're not in the culture, because they don't let us come to the pool party.
Yeah.
Right? So you know that. You're picking it up and determined to do your own thing. And it's like, guys, stop complaining. Here's something that's being created just for the audience you're talking about. Would you like to talk about it a little?
You would think that I would have to like where is Breitbart? Like, where is Breitbart? Where is all of these other, I mean, like, the local, the conservative, maybe they just don't know. Maybe they just don't know, because I have like no huge promotion budget. I don't have a PR person, so maybe they don't know. Maybe they don't know, and we'll see what happens. But if you're listening to this radio show and you're like, oh my gosh, my uncle is the host of AM Talk 550 in Tuscaloosa, shoot me a message. Shoot me. This is how it's gonna work. We're gonna have to go through people who know people. Like, oh my gosh, like, this is too funny. Lisa Tate, who writes awesome pieces. She's going to review this show comes out on Monday. She'll have a review of John Wick 3 tomorrow. I'm super excited to read that. She had Steven Crowder's email, and I was talking about it last week on the show, and so she sent it to me. She's like, hey, you know, she sent it to michael@theloftistparty.com. That's the email. Which, remind me, we need to set up an email over the loftusparty.com that's just like a catch-all email, just like a general, so people can submit photos of them wearing the t-shirts, and they can submit whatever we should talk about. So anyway, I reached out to Steven Crowder, just like, hey man, I'm doing shows. I'd love to have you on board if you want to do a guest set. And I'm reaching out to Owen Benjamin. Hey man, I'm doing shows. If you want to come out and do a guest set and support. Crickets. Crickets. Now, maybe it went through their spam filter. I'm always going to assume the best
Right.
out of people like this. Maybe people are insanely busy, but it's and I'm just tooting my own horn here. I'm getting long-winded, and I apologize. But with theloftistparty.com, and I'll say this once again, you sign up, you get okayed to post. There's like a, it's like a little bit of a waiting period where, you know, because everybody has other jobs. This is what you call a passion project for the people who are involved in this endeavor. We've had a bunch of people sign up. We've had a bunch of people sign up. We've had a couple hundred people sign, which is fantastic, which is fantastic. But it's an open platform. It's an open platform. Like, we're not going to let you do any like child porn crap like that, because, you know, what are we, like, morons? However, it is a free speech platform. Facebook. Holy crap. I'm sure you saw this the other day. Like, Candace Owens had her Facebook page shut down. And someone, a whistleblower, thank God for them, over at Facebook, they took a screen grab of, there's like literally an algorithm that Facebook is using to look for keywords and, you know, blah, blah, blah. And they're going to knock you off. And for getting Candace Owens kicked off, they're offering extra credit to Facebook employees. So it's a systematic silencing of voices on the right. And everybody's like, well, make your own, make your own. That's what we've done. That's what we've done. Theloftistparty.com. I kid you not. That's in a weird way, that's what we've done. I know it's a wacky website. It's weird. There's videos and there's written pieces, but there's also a space for you, the casual internet person, to post stuff. So I get upset when people are like, oh, you're going to sit around and bitch about it? I was horrified with that Facebook thing. I was horrified by it.
Oh, a buddy of mine reposted something Matt Walsh had posted, and now he's locked for 30 days.
Good
So Matt
Lord.
Walsh from the Daily Wire made a post. Rick actually reposted it, and you could see it originally came from Matt Walsh, and now he's locked for 30 days. In Messenger.
That is, part of the algorithm. And normally
No, in Messenger, they're
in
reading your
Facebook Messenger.
messages. Yes.
Oh, I'm sure it's across the platform. I'm sure it's across the platform. If they're looking for keywords and all this other stuff, supposedly, as rumor has it,
How
the
do you
AI
get
can't
keywords off a
hear.
screenshot, though?
Say again?
It was a screenshot of Matt Walsh's post. You can't get keywords off of those.
Yeah, you can. The AI is getting better and better at reading. That was one of the things with the Loftus Party Facebook at the very beginning. At the very beginning, when we
We got
switched
away with a
from
lot more.
when we switched from because it used to be the flip side. It used to be the flip
Right.
side Facebook page when that was the old syndicated show, and then we switched everything over. In like I think 2016, 2017, to the Loftus Party, like just to make it easier, you guys. It's just easier. The Loftus Party on Instagram, the Loftus Party on Facebook, the Loftus Party on Twitter, the LoftusParty.com. It was all matchy matchy. It makes it easy. But we would have little memes that we would put up about, oh, the Loftus Party this, and Facebook was like, hey, we can't. There's too much text. We're not going to allow you to boost this because there's too much text. That was their thing.
Right.
And the AI can read, but it can't hear. And now I think they've gotten to the point now where it can read the text better, even on images. Even if you're just like reposting an image, I think now the AI can read that, and they're getting better at hearing. They did a thing on the Joe Rogan podcast where, because Joe has so much content out there. You just feed that into a computer and they have like every word combination. So they can literally make Joe Rogan say anything. Soon the AI, it'll be able to listen and just recreate. So there'll be no safe place. There'll be no safe place to post anything. They'll kick you off for any reason. And
But I mean, to go into your Facebook Messenger where you're messaging individuals that you are already connected to, right? That would be like if you texted somebody and the phone company cut off your phone service. I mean, it's private, it's not in public. Nobody who may be offended by it is going to see it. It's Messenger.
However, and this goes down to it's a private company. I think you've given away all those rights when you click on I agree to your terms of service.
Yeah, only as soon as they get out from under the same protections the phone company has.
Yeah,
Yeah, that
that's the
needs
brilliant point you
to
made 2 weeks ago.
happen. And I've heard attorneys say it now. So could we move on with this thing? Let's get this going. Yeah.
Let's light the fire under that and
Well,
get that
just see
going.
now if you get banned from one of the platforms, you can fill out something that goes to the White House.
Yeah, there's a the White House opened up that portal, and if anybody listening to the show is in any kind of trouble, I wish we had the link. I wish we could post the link. We're not there yet, but I'm sure if you Google White House portal, Facebook abuse, censorship, it'll get you right there. And thank goodness for that. Something needs to be done. And if and and I'm with you. I had never heard that argument before, and it's one of the great things that I love about doing this show is that, like, holy smoke, yeah, if they have these protections under the law, they shouldn't have them because, yeah, if you say something over the phone to your friend, you don't lose your phone service. I really believe that we're on the edge of, well, not even, I think we're probably past the edge of it now, but this is election tampering. This is
Oh,
election
yeah,
tampering. It's
without a
Facebook.
doubt.
It's they're slowly but surely. And I used to say this on stage with the Deplorables tour, that like they're trying to isolate us. They're trying to isolate us. They're trying to make you feel like a weirdo because you believe in small government. They're trying to make you feel odd because I think the vast majority of people have like a ton of problems
Do you know?
with Trump. However, he's doing the things that I want. I'm getting 98, 99% of what I want as a small government person. I don't want the government telling me I have to, support X, Y, or Z. I want big government out of my life, and that's what I get through Donald Trump. So I'm a hell yes, I'm a huge Donald Trump fan, and I don't want people to feel alone for that. And that's what they're doing by kicking people off these platforms. They're slowly getting away of the popular voices. James Woods on Twitter. That dude, come on.
He
Oh,
was
I'm so glad we have the
he
website.
posted Emerson
Yes.
and got
Yes.
banned. Let's think about that. But do you know what I want? Do you know what I want just for Zuckerberg? Just for Jack? Do you know what I want for all these hoople-headed morons? I want Gavin Newsom's idea to become a bill in the California legislature, and I want them to have to use their organization's profits to start building other people's houses. That's what I want. You want socialism, Mark? There you go. You want these policies, Mark? You don't get to be a champagne socialist. You get to take profitability out of your business, which has, oh, by the way, been going down, 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 and now you get to build houses for people who can't afford them.
That'd be
I
hilarious.
actually want them to, and Gavin Newsom has said this publicly. This is his big idea that the tech companies are going to have to start pitching in and building affordable housing for their workers. Kind of like the old mill concept, right? Milltown? Yeah. Good. I want every single freaking one of them to have to do it, and I want Jack and Mark to have to do a whole lot of it.
It's almost impossible to build new structures to house people in Southern California and in Northern California. It is, there was somebody that was trying to build a new apartment building thing in Santa Monica, but it would be multi-storied buildings, and because it would cast a shadow on a park for an hour, the city said no. No,
Oh,
can't do it.
okay.
You can't cast a shadow on a public
Wait,
park for an
because
hour.
you just know if you build an apartment building in Santa Monica, you're gonna have to take Section 8 and do some portion of low-income housing because it's California, right?
Oh, it's a
So let's
nightmare.
leave all those people on the street because it's gonna cast a shadow on the park. Let's have like 15 or 20 people sleeping in that shadow because they have nowhere else to sleep. Are
It's
you kidding
funny, but
me?
like liberal friends of mine, very, very far left friends of mine, are starting to complain about it. So that's another when you have like hardcore, like Medicare for all, let's embrace socialism, people going, hey, we gotta build stuff so people can live there. You've got a problem. Hey, speaking of building stuff, that was a horrible segue, but it looks like we're going back to the moon. I couldn't be happier. I couldn't be happier. Right now, NASA's saying 2024, we're going to go to the moon. We're going to build a base. We're staying. I hold their feet to the fire for this. I want this to happen so badly. I can taste it, and I want it to happen in 2024. No change in the deadlines there, NASA. And just as a fun to know fact, they're out of spacesuits. They've literally they blew through their spacesuit budget doing research, and like they've had to cancel spacewalks now because they don't have spacesuits. So I don't think if they can go to the moon, here's my suggestion. I should just go on the record as saying this. Elon Musk has that tunnel drilling machine, the boring company. You fly up pieces of that machine, the tunneling machine, on every mission. It might take you 50, 60 missions, but when you get all the pieces of the machine up there, you put it together, and then you just start digging tunnels underneath the surface of the
No.
moon, and you use that as
No.
your base.
No.
Skadoosh.
No. 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 Because now these
Really?
loons at Harvard and Yale. No, I don't think you start touching things. No. No, 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 no. Now you got these loons at Harvard and Yale deciding we should dim the sun?
Ha 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 ha. Good
about
luck with
no?
that.
How about hell no?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Oh, they're talking about putting stuff in the atmosphere, right?
Yeah,
To it
no.
to,
No, I don't know.
yeah.
Maybe for all I know, they're planning on shooting big sheets of aluminum foil out and reflecting it back. What potentially could you screw up?
That is, it's like out of a science fiction novel.
It's retarded.
That's what would always happen on the original Star Trek. They'd run into some old machine that was made with good intentions, but now it's like just pure evil. Yeah, this
Yeah.
is what I want. Yeah, let's dim the sun. That's the
It's
most
global
moronic
warming is a
thing.
hoax. It's a complete hoax. Al Gore left office with $2 million. He's now worth $300 million. He made 83 of it with that stupid movie that didn't get anything right.
Well, this goes back to the Kamala Harris, Cory Booker. It goes back to the Jim Comey of it all. I think I said this on the air, but just for fun, sometimes you guys go do a Wikipedia search on James Comey. James Comey goes into the FBI, blah 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 blah. Nice career path, and he's making decent money at the FBI. And then he takes a break. He takes a little break, and then he goes to work at like Boeing or some big like
Security kind of
aeronautical
thing, right?
place. Like, yeah, it's crazy. Like, what is this guy who worked for the FBI? What does he possibly know about aviation? What does he seriously, for real? But he goes to work for them for a couple years, and then he secures some huge government contract. And because it's a huge government contract, that there, you have bonuses built in. So he gets a bonus for from the contractor he's working for, the aviation company. They give him a couple $1 million, and it's like $4 or $5 million. So he puts that in his bank account, and then bloop bloop goes right back to work for the FBI. It's a great gig. It is a scam. It is a giant scam. And they wrap themselves up in this, oh, we're just serving the government. We're just doing this wonderful civil service. And it's these people go into Congress.
And they
They
never
come,
leave.
they never leave, and they're making $140,000 a year, which is great money. Seriously. Any part of the
175.
country beyond New York and the West Coast, that's great money. And then they all come out multimillionaires. Like, how does that happen? How does that happen? Ask yourself that question.
Yeah, you
How do you
all
go
want to know,
in?
you all want to see Trump's tax returns. Trump's tax returns for the business that he ran for the majority of his adult life. You know what, Nancy Pelosi? I want to see your tax returns, Dianne
Dig it.
Feinstein,
All of them,
Adam
Maxine
Schiff. I want to
Waters.
see your tax returns. I want to make sure they match your financial disclosures.
And I'm prepared. I'm prepared to go. Even I like. Yeah,
New York, go ahead and pass that law. I want Chuck Schumer's.
Oh my goodness! There's another guy.
Oh,
There's
yeah.
another guy. How long has he been in public service? There was a meme. There was a meme I put on the LoftistParty.com. Like, they took a. It was a picture of Donald Trump back in like 1987, shaking President Reagan's hand. And at that time. Chuck and Nancy were there. They were in D.C. and they were blaming Ronald Reagan for all of America's ills. Now here we are, decades later.
Right.
They're still there, and now they're blaming Trump. It's like you're ineffective. You suck. You're horrible. You need to go. You're not getting things done. Okay, I'm gonna wrap things up here with a couple of, I guess, Game of Thrones predictions. I don't know what's gonna happen tonight. I just want to reiterate this. I can't say this enough. So tonight's the, well, it would have been last night. I have to think it's actually Monday. So last night was the last episode of Game of Thrones. I know a lot of people are upset. I know a lot of people are, they were upset with last week's episode. And I will just, my two cents as a guy who, and this is, I write, I write jokes. I write, situation comedies for television. And there is a pacing that you have to think about. There's a pacing. And if a character makes a weird decision, you have to ask yourself as an audience member and you're watching it, well, why did they make that decision? Did I make this clear? Is it obvious? Am I on that character's side? The two guys who write Game of Thrones have really done a bad job. And I would say this to their face. I would say this to them at a cocktail party. I'm not speaking out of school. They've done a horrible job of informing the audience of why these characters are making these really, really big decisions. And that's an epic fail. It's a really bad one, because they had the help of George R.R. Martin, and he's a TV guy. He started in television. He was working on TV shows and writing movies when he first had the idea for Game of Thrones. And he thought he was going to sell a movie. And so he was kind of bebopping back and forth between LA and New Mexico when he had he was actually working on another project when he had the idea for Game of Thrones. And he just kind of started squirreling around with it and was able to sell it. But he was there to kind of hold their hands throughout this process, through the casting process, through all the development, through the look of the show, and all this other stuff. And now these two writers, they have his outline. And he's kind of trying to help him along, but for some reason, and I don't know why, they gave themselves a super short season. It's the last season of Game of Thrones, and they didn't give themselves enough runway. It's like you have these characters making these huge decisions on screen, and you're like, why did they do that? Like, why? And as an audience member, I should never have to ask myself that question, and I shouldn't have to ask that of multiple characters. The main characters. So that's madness. It's utter madness. I think a lot of people died last night. I haven't, we record this on a Sunday. I haven't watched it. And that really frightens me that someone has given these two dudes who have, they hold the pen. They decide who says what and when they say it. They decide what look Daenerys gives Jon Snow. They decide. And they keep making bad decision after bad decision after bad decision. It's too bad. It's really too bad that they had this wonderful opportunity, and they appeared, for the most part, they've squandered it. There's been some wonderful episodes. There's been some wonderful moments that have happened this season, but we'll see what has happened last night. I don't know.
Doesn't sound like you're hopeful.
Well, here's the thing, to for me, is that this affects all of my geek culture life, because now it's affecting Star Wars. They had Rian Johnson, who did everything he could to kill the Star Wars franchise with the Last Jedi, just horrible. And then he was supposed to direct a trilogy, and then they've put his trilogy on hold, but they've hired these two dudes from Game of Thrones, and they've given their trilogy the green light. So that's I don't have faith in them as writers. I guess I need to read other stuff they've written.
What trilogy are they gonna do?
No one knows. No one knows.
Star Wars related?
Yeah, oh, it is. It's in the Star Wars universe. Kathleen Kennedy,
Okay.
Disney, they've signed off on it. The guys who have taken, when left to their own devices, they've not done very well by Game of Thrones. And the fan community is upset, and the casual viewer is upset. When they take the reins, they run the horse into the side of the barn. They don't do well. So
And I
I'm
gotta
concerned that they
say,
have.
the fan
Say,
base for Star Wars is a little bit bigger than Game of Thrones.
well, it's a lot smaller now. It's a lot smaller
Yeah.
now. You know, the Han Solo, a Star Wars story, and that's not Ron Howard's fault, but that's the first Star Wars movie to ever lose money, and that's not good. You've got Kathleen Kennedy at the helm, and there appears to be a social justice agenda there. With what the abilities that Rey has. So I'm concerned about, because there is a big geek culture part to all of this.
Well, yeah, I know. Rey is like Captain Marvel.
Exactly. Exactly. And I forget there's a phrase that everybody uses on the internet for that kind of character that has no flaws, that has no worries, that is completely overpowered and can do anything at any time, and it's not good. I think it's a Mary Sue. It might be Mary Sue. Anyway, so those are my concerns. Game of Thrones was on last night. We'll talk more about it next week. And then I also want to talk about the Robert Pattinson. They're talking about that kid from the Twilight movies. He might be the next Batman, and it's just
Oh,
like
that's wrong.
I don't know what's going on with DC. I don't
He
know what's going
made
on with Warner Brothers.
a super good vampire. He would not make a good Batman. Yeah, no.
Although I'll say this as I remember a lot of people complained about when Michael Keaton was cast as Batman. And at the time, maybe I'm wrong. Maybe I'm wrong. I will totally listen. I thought Ben Affleck did a great job. But listen, I'm Pattinson better put on some beef. He better put on some he better that my boy better hit the gym.
Something.
Okay. Go ahead.
I said something.
Yeah,
He his look
some
is more appropriate for some like slick villain, I think, but that's just me.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's Oh my gosh. Well, I don't want to open up a whole new can of worms because we got to wrap here. But oh my, I was watching a little bit of Annie Hall last night, the Woody Allen movie, and just New York, Manhattan in the 1970s had to have been wonderful. Just had to have been wonderful. I really think that might have been the golden age of New York. And man, Woody Allen's funny. Man, Woody Allen's funny. I don't care about Sun Yi. I don't care about any of it. That dude, like, he's not my favorite comedian in the world, but I'm watching Annie Hall, and it's such a period of the time, and he's doing. But you have to remind yourself, he's doing these jokes for like the first time. It's like the Beatles. Some people are over the Beatles, but when you think about it, they were doing that for the first time. You got to give it up. Okay, so we're trying to make a difference in the culture, and it's working, and it's fantastic. So reach out to friends, invite them to like the Loftus Party on Facebook, and keep inviting. I know you've been doing it. I always feel bad about saying this, but keep up the good work, you guys. I really do. I care about you all deeply. This is, you always hear this hokey crap. Like how to build a fan base and how to increase your subscriber count and all this stuff. Build a community. But like literally, it's what's happened. It's what's happened. It's what's happening. And I'm always going to look back at these days of the oh, I remember when we just had, when we were happy to hit 5,000 on Facebook. And oh, I remember. But I look at the comments. I know who you are, and I know the people who've been sharing everything and the people, and you're freaking awesome for doing it. You're awesome for doing it. So I can't thank you enough. Keep up the good work. Invite, you never know. Just keep inviting people. Keep sharing the videos, keep sharing the links, and go on to iTunes and leave a review and click on the hearts and do your thing. But we are, it's monumental. The forces that are working against us, and this is like some Alex Jones sounding stuff, but the forces that are working against that not, well, I'll say it this way, that don't want us to succeed. The forces that don't want us to succeed are huge. They are giant. This is a legit David and Goliath scenario, and we're doing it with fun. We're doing it with comedy. We're doing it with an upbeat, optimistic attitude. Oh, it thrills me. It thrills me. It gives me goosebumps. I hope you guys have a great week. There's so much wonderful stuff out there. And we're going to celebrate all of it. We're going to celebrate all of it. I'll talk to you guys later.